And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. We're actually, if everything is going according to plan, I should be on a train right now, somewhere west of Chicago, taking another cross-country train trip, which I find to be really amazing. I thoroughly recommend it. And presumably when I come back, I'll be recommending the one that I'm on now. And in the future, you'll hear some radio programs that will probably have been taped on that very train. But for now, we're going to go back and play something from the past that we have not played before. This actually was recorded in May of last year. It's actually two parts of this program, and it's an abbreviated program, too. We're only 45 minutes tonight. But we'll be listening to some fireworks that were recorded on a beach across from where the fireworks are actually taking place. This was back in May, and it was on Long Island, and we don't know why the fireworks are going off at this particular time. They just were. And Kyle and I happened to be around with recording equipment, and we were actually testing out some of our new recording equipment that we've been using. We also, later on in the program, talk about what will be upcoming in a couple of future shows, namely our trip to England, which took place last spring. That was the trip where we were able to get photographs of various surveillance locations throughout the UK. But we'll be getting into that in future weeks. For now, though, let's listen in on the anticipation of fireworks across the bay on Off the Wall.
Yeah, so they're screaming and a goose, so that means that the fireworks are going to begin fairly soon, not immediately.
Right. I hear people trying to do their own, it seems.
Well, there could be independent screaming going on different places.
Right. The competing screams.
Competing screams. Well, you hear someone scream, of course, the thing you want to do is scream yourself.
But
it's unprofessional to scream on the radio, so we're not going to do that.
Right.
If you look straight up, you'll see the Dragon spacecraft on its way to the space station. No, it's cruel. I shouldn't say that.
That's really cruel, but there's a plane up there.
No, the Dragon spacecraft actually was supposed to lift off the other day, and didn't. Just they counted down. They did that all right, but the rocket didn't go anywhere. It's a step, though.
Well, soon enough.
Actually, it's not a step. I don't know what it is. Okay, I'm hearing screaming coming from a different area now.
Interdisciplinary screaming.
Well, I'm just thinking this wouldn't be a good time to drown, would it? Because you'd be screaming and nobody would think anything of it.
So you're saying it would fall on deaf ears?
Well, I'm sorry for the dark thoughts, but can't help it.
It's just
but you can walk too, right? You're not plugged into any AC, so...
No, not really. I'm just leaning up over here.
Uh-huh.
I'm ready, though. We can
I see what you're doing.
Well, I just thought, I mean,
it's
celebration.
That's not audio related at all, is it?
What?
That's not audio related at all.
No. I was just, you know.
That's why you sent me away.
Audio engineers got to, you know.
He's coming right back here now.
Oh, I see what's going on.
He's got cupcakes.
Yeah.
Not going to share.
Well.
I'll have
you want chocolate?
Yeah.
All right. I'll be with you in a second.
No, it's okay. I'll be with you in a second.
3 hours of recording time here to test.
Yeah, but we don't have 3 hours of fireworks now, do we? Because I sure hope we don't.
So what you're telling me is you're rushing the fireworks?
I'm not rushing the fireworks. I just wish they'd get started already.
I know. It's just, like, ridiculous.
It's absurd. We could have set up a whole studio by now. But look at the cars. All traveling a little line there.
Yeah, I was. It was unbelievable when I was riding back from Shoreham. Yes, I rode my bike
you
over Shoreham.
You rode your bike at night. To Shoreham for some reason.
Stupidest thing ever. But anyway, it was enjoyable, and people were just lining up on some of those driveways that go down.
Yeah, you picked one hell of a night to do it, I guess. That was like the best night ever to ride down because. Oh, here we go.
Oh, really?
Fireworks have begun.
Hey, it's starting.
wow? Just
what? No, I mean, it's
who
cool.
Who says wow in a fireworks display?
Oh, I was saying wow because the shotgun's picking up the audio really well.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
because sounds great, man.
What I find interesting is that animals
yeah.
can tell the difference between fireworks and thunder. And
right.
if I'm inside my house and I hear something like this, I don't know if it's thunder or if it's fireworks.
Right.
Animals freak out over thunder, but they don't freak out over fireworks. Well, they will freak out over fireworks if it's nearby, like right next to them, but
right.
but not like this. And they also freak out over earthquakes.
So, E?
Yes.
I had a question. What is this in celebration of? Like, is this like Waterland Festival? Because I know in Des Moines, back where I'm from, like, we have Waterland Festival. It's like a spring-summer event like this.
No. This is... Well, it's, what, May 19th, isn't it? I don't know what that day's known for. I think they're just having a carnival at the beach, and they decided to have fireworks, too. Because it's too early to go swimming. And it's too late not to be there.
They like their sirens, don't they?
They do.
What's that all about? I mean, doesn't that confuse the volunteer firefighters? They're big into volunteer firefighting. Out here.
Well, they're big into volunteer fires. Why not? What other radio program brings you fireworks? Well, this is something.
Yeah.
Oh, a whole lot of fireworks, though.
Oh, my God. We're clipping.
Looks like they're getting closer and closer to us. They are looking closer to us. Optical illusion.
Oh, my God. I got to turn the levels down. This is ridiculous. Oh my God.
Isn't that something?
We're being inundated with audio.
And that is that.
I think they're happy with it.
And there is much rejoicing.
Oh, baby, we like it wrong. Yes, baby, we like it wrong. Oh, baby, we like it wrong. Yes, baby, we like it wrong. Shimmy, yeah, shimmy, yeah, hey. Give me the mic and I will take it away. The old dancing was the country thing. Sing the messy battle with the crazy rapping. Gonna proclaim, oh, it's gonna proclaim. Yeah. That's the big old ball and the hip-hop crew. Cause if they're telling me to get it, they don't gonna proclaim. You're gonna proclaim. Oh, baby, we like it raw. Yes, baby, we like it raw. Oh, baby, we like it raw.
We do.
Yes, baby, we like it raw. Oh, baby, we like it raw.
We do.
Yes, baby, we like it raw.
Oh,
baby, we like it raw. Oh, baby, we like it raw. Shimmy, shimmy, yeah, shimmy, yeah, shimmy, yeah. Give me the mic and I will take it away. The Wu-Tang thing was the Kung Fu thing. Dirty old bastard with some crazy rapping in a Brooklyn.
Would I get mad and psycho?
Shimmy, shimmy, yeah, shimmy, yeah,
yeah. Me so you say I'm in a rapper band play. Shimmy shimmy yeah, shimmy yeah, shimmy yeah. Oh baby we like it raw. Oh baby we like it raw. Oh baby we like it raw. Yes baby we like it raw. Oh baby we like it raw.
What do you think? Here we are. We're going to have a little bit of a trip soon, right? We're going somewhere.
We're going to the UK of England. Well, no, we're going to England in the UK. Not for very long, just for about a week.
It's been a long time since I've been to the UK. It's an interesting place, but it was really little last time I was there.
Yeah, last time I was there was 2009.
Okay.
I believe, right before horror.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I remember, because you were going through the tube. You took the Eurostar, right? Yeah. Wasn't that the train you were taking?
Probably.
To and from or something like that. I don't know how you got over, but...
Right. Okay, what happened was... let's see. How did I get over?
I remember dropping you off the Eurostar when you were going back to the
yeah,
UK.
Yeah, yeah. We were going back. You stopped in Belgium. I continued onwards into
right.
London and then Scotland after that.
Right.
But I'm thinking on the way over, I was in Ireland.
Right.
And I forget how I got over to Holland. I think maybe I took another Eurostar, if it's possible.
Okay.
Or I took the boat. I don't think I took the boat.
Right.
I don't know. But, yeah, it's a cool way to get around, that's for sure. And what we're going to be doing, we're going to be staying pretty much in England proper, mostly London, but going up towards Sheffield and maybe down to Brighton.
That would be cool, yeah. Some kind of beach. You know, water's a great interface. There's all kinds of activity, and it is spring / summertime.
And mm-hmm. And we all came from the water at one point or another.
Yeah. Not into creation, is it?
You do know that's not creation. That's the
I
other
know
one.
No, it's not creation.
All right. So I'll make sure that we understand that.
Okay. Seems like a fun idea, though, because, I mean, we got Hope going on. There's all kinds of planning, and we're just busy people right now.
We're incredibly busy people. And actually, we're going over here, over there, to get some pictures.
Material for the calendar,
for the
yeah.
Next
yeah.
calendar, 2013
which,
calendar.
Which is a good project. I mean, that's going good. We've got some good ideas, and I don't know. Theme's good.
And, yeah, surveillance is the theme, and, of course, you have to go to England if you're going to do surveillance.
Right. It's like the mecca of over-the-top and mm-hmm. ridiculous surveillance.
And we're not sure what we're going to find there. We're going to look around, and I'm sure we'll be surveilled quite a bit.
Yeah.
But got to remember to bring a camera. That's the only good thing. And once we do that, though, we'll be set, and we'll have some smashing pictures, as they say, over there. But we're not limited to that. We're going to have pictures from all over the place for that calendar. But we just don't want to leave this out. And plus, it's a good opportunity just to get away for a little bit because of the madness that surrounds us with conference planning and all kinds of other things.
Yeah.
Our lives are just so chaotic and unbelievable.
A lot of fun, though.
That's a lot of fun. But, wow. There's so many things to worry about to do. So it's good to sort of go to another country and worry about other things.
Yeah.
Should I say what I plan on doing? Because this won't air until after I do it.
Yeah, I think we're all set on that. Like, you know, whatever. Say what you want. I mean, I feel like it's just sort of conversation, you know?
Yeah, this is like the tape they'll play later to, like, you know, prove what I was in my head when I did the crazy thing I did. But when I come back to this country, I plan on not having any luggage whatsoever. Well, I do plan on having my knapsack, or as I say, rucksack, over in England.
And see, we like this. We're always messing with things that we travel with,
mm-hmm.
how we travel. And, you know, of course, that's part of, like, why we wanted to change our audio, because it's like we come back and share and we talk about the different things we see and things that affect us. And, you know, because that prepares other people. I think people get a lot from it. But for ourselves, we can understand what works for us best. And when you like to travel, you want it to work the best way. You're trying to figure out those ways when you get the chance. And, yeah, I mean, you're going to be going, like, ultra... low-key, like, just a person, nothing defined kind of thing.
Well,
and really, because it's an annoyance, I feel like you're doing that just because of the speed factor.
Here's the thing. I mean, this is important for people to realize, is that every time I come back, I get interrogated. Not interrogated so much, but just taken aside and put in a room.
given a lot of grief.
It's ridiculous. And the last time I lost patience and I said, look, why are you people doing this to me all the time? You never find anything. It's insane. And they said, well, we can't tell you why. But if you go to this web address, you can fill out a form and they'll tell you why. It turned out to be a big lie because I went to the website, filled out a form, sent in basically an inquiry wanting to know why I keep getting targeted. And I got back a statement basically saying that, well, sometimes people get targeted as a result of the same name as somebody else, but there's no reason why you should be targeted as well. And I am so confident that they're lying that I believe I'll get stopped again. So anyway, since I'm so convinced that I will get stopped again, despite what they said, I figured, why not have some fun with it? They always put me in this room. They always go through my baggage. And, you know, it's just, it's annoying. It's, I don't want to say embarrassing, but it's just, it's not a good feeling to have somebody just pawing through all of your personal effects.
Yeah.
You know, from clothing to electronics to everything. Not that I ever give them a password to any of my electronics or anything like that. They never asked. But I just don't want to go through that.
To be made an example of just because there's some, like, issue or something, and then they deny it all, and, like, it's just really weird.
Right.
And that's wrong. Like, as a citizen, I mean, I think, you know, we all do things that, you know, are good and bad, and people are human and all of that, but, like, I think we do exemplar things, like, for the country and just being out there and, like, talking to people and meeting people.
What is it that we actually do that's such a threat? I don't get it. We talk about issues. We're on the radio. We put out a hacker magazine. Okay, great. You know, these are things that you might not agree with. Maybe you don't see the value of it, but they are things that are...
they go uncovered, right?
They are, you know, protected ways of expressing yourself, and anything like that should be encouraged, I think. And this is just intimidation. So, since I'm pretty much... And I might be wrong. I might have made a fool of myself by suggesting this. But, you know, when I come back and I expect to be taken out of the line and sent to the room, I'm just going to have my knapsack with me.
Okay.
And they don't search anything in that room. They just basically make you sit for like 20, 25 minutes. Sometimes they ask you questions. I'm really not going to answer any questions. I mean, I'll give them the information that, you know, I have, my name and things like that. But I'm not going to... answer any questions about who did I talk to or where did I go.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. It's not required that I give them an itinerary of everything I've done someplace. So that's not going to happen. Assuming that I get out of that okay, the next stop will be having my luggage searched. And when they do that, they'll find the knapsack that has absolutely nothing in it. When we go to England, I'm only going to bring the clothes that I wear on my back. And I'll buy other clothing when I'm there. And it'll be interesting because I'll get some new shirts and things like that.
Some trainers. Right.
I'll buy British underwear. Yeah, it'll be great.
Whatever you need.
And then I'm also going to get a box when I'm over there, a little cardboard box.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the trip, I'll just be putting things in that box. And then on the last day, I'm going to go over to the post office and send it home. And that'll be all my clothes that I've bought since then.
Right.
And again, I'll be going back wearing nothing but the clothes that I have on at that moment.
Right.
And there'll be nothing else that I'll be carrying. I mean, we'll work something out with my cell phone, work something out with my computer, but that's really all I'm going to bring. So they're going to have a rough time of it. They're going to be rather frustrated. But maybe I'll get some answers that way. At the very least, you know, I'll have some fun.
Right.
It'll be something different.
Well, I like the idea of bringing the letter and being like, yeah, this is what I got last time. Is this still an issue? And, like, clear things up, you know, like.
What I'll have to remember to
it's
do
plan.
I'll have to remember to route an 800 number to go to your cell phone. That way, if and when I do get out of there, I can call you from a payphone and it'll go right to your cell phone. And I won't need a phone myself.
Sure.
I'm trying to think. You know, I'll have my passport. That's, you know, obviously I need that.
Yes.
I'll have both my passports, my European one as well, which they've never, you know, looked at suspiciously. In fact, they never even looked at it. They just passed right by it when they were searching.
Right.
It's mostly a harassment. It really is. I mean, they're not looking for anything. They just want to harass. And it's going to be hard for them to harass when there's nothing to paw through.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess I won't have a license. I won't have a credit card even. I don't know. Maybe I should have a credit card. I don't know. No cash, nothing. I kind of want to see what happens. It's going to be an interesting way of traveling, too. I've never done this before.
Flying by the seat of your pants.
Yeah.
Well
maybe...
because when we do production and we go and try to capture stuff and like, especially with photography, all the film, it's like, I find I have very little room for clothing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am going to bring some collared shirts, you know, something just in case, you know, if we want to, you know, appear respectable. We are representing, you know, another country as visitors, and you want to look sharp, I guess. So I'll bring, like, one of those and then one sort of scuzzy, like, work kind of thing. And but, you know, maybe some trousers and, like, a T-shirt if I need to trudge a bit.
Yeah. You're bringing a lot more than me, obviously, because I'm not bringing anything. But
yeah.
You're going to look a lot better, too, I think. But maybe I'll buy some nice attire when I'm there.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't fully, like, looked and seen what kind of outfit I'm going to bring, but I can definitely identify because, you know, with the camera bag, I'm actually bringing 4 cameras this time.
Wow, that's awesome.
Isn't that amazing?
4 cameras, bringing all this audio equipment.
And they're all different cameras, too. Yeah, we've got all this audio equipment. That's actually the size of, like, a purse, and it has a couple of wires hanging off, and there's a mixer and one antenna, and yes, it's nice.
Now, you said all 4 cameras are different cameras. Obviously, they're different cameras, but you meant something.
Yeah, actually, the types of cameras, they're all four different types of cameras. We have a 35mm film camera, a digital camera that does pretty much 35mm around there,
mm-hmm.
And then a 120mm sort of box-style camera that if you recall, we took to the former Yugoslavia.
We took that everywhere.
Yeah, we took it a lot, and, you know, I actually had it cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
You had it sent out, and
you know, for around $60, a little more, plus shipping, the guy goes over the whole thing, and I was worried about it, because when we were in Switzerland, I think I broke it or tripped it with the cable incorrectly, something like that. So, yeah, no, that one's back in the mix. Might have to try to find some film for it, but I think it's got at least one roll. It is possible we'll bring it, and I think in London we'll be able to find 120mm film. It's a pretty industrialized place.
Probably find a bunch of people with cameras like that, too.
Sure, sure.
It is London, after all.
Yeah, and lastly, I'm bringing the Graflex, which is a sort of large format, but mobile camera. It was used a lot for, like, journalism and stuff. And so I'm bringing that. That uses large sheets of old film,
mm-hmm.
and I have some 320, so it's a little bit faster, so I can do handheld stuff.
But I want to see you actually take a picture with
it. Oh, it's a big camera.
I've never seen you take a picture with it, though.
Right, right. Well, I've taken a couple test shots at home, and so I'm eager to kind of do it out in the field. And it's odd, you have to... My grandfather gave me this bag, and it's a dark bag, so you can put your supplies in it, and I can actually load the film, because the cartridge for the large format, this is really exciting. It only takes 2 sheets at a time, so you get 2 shots, and then we have to change. So I'll have this black bag that I stick my arms in and load up sheets of film.
And I'm the one they're stopping at the border.
Right, right, right.
Listen what this guy is doing with his arms and changing things and old-fashioned cameras. I'm suspicious. Okay, no, go ahead. Keep going.
It'll be really interesting. But I've got a larger camera bag, and then I'm going to put my smaller bag in it. So it'll be a bit funny, but I can take the smaller bag on, like, a day trip.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm probably going to bring a backpack with, like, one computer and, like, a change of clothes. Mm-hmm. Try to go light. I mean...
This is light.
Well, it's you know, when you want to capture all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I don't even realize it now, but it's work once you get out there and you're trying to produce and you want to capture the story and wherever you're at, whatever kinds of things you end up seeing. So
we have to remember to have fun. I have that penciled in for the second night for about an hour and a half. It'll be fun.
Okay.
Back to work after fun.
All right.
Yeah. It's all arranged.
But it's kind of cool because I can test the rig and, you know, we'll do...
An interface, we're going to interface video and audio and all that kind of stuff eventually.
At some point, yeah. We don't have a video camera on this rig, but...
I like that you keep calling it a rig. This makes it sound so much cooler.
Well, yeah.
We have a rig.
It's EFP. It's Electronic Field Production.
There you go.
Yes. So we'll have this bag and the larger bag for cameras and some knapsacks, and it'll be interesting trudging around a bit.
Well, we're good at the trudging, though, you know, and Dead Reckoning and all that.
Yeah, to find things.
So we have all this electronic magic that we bring with us.
Right.
But you also like to bring old things, too.
Well, the cameras, or two of the cameras are pretty old. But you're bringing a watch, I take it. Your grandpa's old watch.
Yeah.
Which is a really awesome, awesome watch there that you had fixed in New York City.
Yeah, I'm going to bring that so we can tell time.
It's good to do that.
Yeah, it's good to have a timepiece sometimes. Mm-hmm.
You bring in the... any of the coins? Coins or
yeah,
continental currency or any of that?
Yes. Yeah. I have some continental currency that was given to me as a gift, and I want to bring that over to England because I really like the printing and the old feel in it.
What is continental currency?
Continental currency was the beginning of American currency.
Oh, yeah, dry up with a siren. I'm sorry.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's really ridiculous. Who has fun with that? What does that do for you?
Damn nonce.
Hey.
So, anyway, I want to bring that because it's sort of a reminder of home. I also have a $1 coin, I think. But these were early pieces of currency when we really started to differentiate ourselves as a nation. In fact, the continental currency was regionalized, or not regionalized, but it was separated by states. So different states would even have their own continental currency. The Spanish dollar was the sort of like... transplanted currency from like way over in Europe when people were basically over here working as a colony of whatever country that was. But then you started getting states, and you know, a student might tell you the 13 original colonies and all that, and that's very, very true. And what these were is not just outposts, like trading posts for foreign nations that had colonized the U.S., they became like strident Americans. I mean, because you think after generations and generations, I'm sure the Native Americans could tell us this, but after generations and generations, things change, and people, instead of, you know, having been a colonizer or like a couple families removed from that, they came over and they like started saying, I'm an American, like I come from here. Like, it's not, like, you want to detach a little bit more because you've been colonized. That's old history, and then the new generations bring in a new paradigm, a new, they define what's important, and their roots then become localized regardless of their ancestors. So what you got is, like, people trade and they live their lives and all of that, and the cities and places that were growing in this, what was a colony known as the United States, became like its own entity. So you get New York City, you get Virginia, you get or New York State and Virginia and all these East Coast outposts, and they had their own currencies basically.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's amazing.
And weird denominations too.
Yeah, very bizarre.
$4, $6, things like that.
Yeah, I am really excited about it. I got a couple of bills, and I don't know, it's a good reminder. I won't use them as bookmarks or anything. I think just something to look at, maybe, just look back at the design and integrate it. I don't know, I love the aesthetic of some of the old scripts and all of that. So.
It's really incredible, like some of the pictures that are on there and some of the writings. The coin says, "We are one,"
yeah,
which is an awesome phrase.
Right, right, right. And I just think that, you know, England's such an old place, and I'm reminded of...
Yeah, all they're going to do is laugh at it if you show it to them.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I have an older one in
you
my
know
pocket,
what I'm saying?
You know? It's,
yeah. So, but it is a reminder that, like, you know what, this it's a connection to something. It's like, you are an American. And I've often felt like that, like, when we go to countries, we take currency, we convert our currency and all of this stuff, and you get to this localized currency. And I started, you know, when you look at an American bill, it seems funny when you get over there and you're in a different context. And the currency is just always a bit of a challenge, and it's something you have to know, like, and you learn about when you're traveling. Like, remember when we were in Scandinavia, we were dealing with all these wild crowns that were incredibly strong, and like going to places like Zurich, and we just learned a lot about like currency. And so I wanted to start circulating stuff, and so I'm bringing like different funny bills from America and stuff like that.
Yeah, you had somebody comment on your bills just today, I think, or was it yesterday? Someone saw
that
you had in your wallet, and it's very bizarre and strange looking.
Yeah, I had this was a gift from a friend. I have a couple different, I get like clean bills every now and then, and I had a Burmese dollar, it's called One Kyat,
mm-hmm.
and it's very pretty, and this girl noticed that, I don't know where I was paying for something, and, you know, if it's in your wallet, people are often like, oh, where's that from, and Other bills in there that are kind of novelties, and I like to show them because, you know, money is always, and, you know, people are always looking at money, and it's a very common thing, I guess. So it's funny, and I actually do get compliments like that. I've got all kinds of funny bills, and she stopped me and wanted to know what it was, and I told her, and it was cool.
Do you still have the, was it $1 trillion note?
Yeah, that's from Zimbabwe.
Was it $1 trillion or $10
trillion? I think it was $10 trillion. That's okay. $10 trillion. There's more. There's, I think, $50 trillion and more. But, yeah, the German paper supplier actually was cut them off at a certain point because they were making all this paper down there, or in Africa, Zimbabwe. And I think it was Mugabe? Is that the?
Yeah.
Robert Mugabe. Mugabe.
Robert Mugabe, yeah. What did he do? Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you mentioned his name. I figured he did something.
Well, no, wasn't he the leader?
He is the leader, yes.
In Zimbabwe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like you say, the Germans cut him off, or?
That they were printing all this money that was really inflated or had very little value, and they got cut off or like sanctioned against importing this paper, so that's how they stopped printing all this worthless money eventually. So.
Why did the Germans care if they were importing paper to print their money on?
I don't know.
Was the paper worth more than the money or something? Or I don't understand anything about money. I just know that...
It was like it was highly inflated, and I don't know, they were printing all this money that was valueless. I don't know what the story is exactly, but I heard something about that.
How did they pay for it? That's a good question. Maybe they were paying with the notes that they were printing.
Maybe something, that'd be great.
Yeah, nice try, Zimbabwe. That's not going to work.
Yeah, you gotta try. You gotta come up with something a little more valuable, like gold. I don't know. It's interesting, like, geopolitics and, like, world economics and stuff like that.
And you have it all in your wallet.
Well, yeah. You know, it's a good reminder, you know, because we get it, so I don't ever feel like totally centric, you know, like American centric. You know, you have euros. Yeah, euro's not doing so good right now.
It's true. We're not going to be using those.
No, not at all.
The pound sterling.
Pound sterling. That's an old currency, right?
Yeah. You know, when you go to, Scotland, they use a pound, but they don't use the same, they use the pound that comes from banks in Scotland. In some places, the British pound isn't accepted, even though it's worth the same.
So they're still doing that, huh?
They're still doing that. And, of course, there's the Irish pound, which is totally different. And, I don't know what Wales is doing, but all kinds of funny things are going on over there.
Wow.
You'll find England to be really bizarre and weird.
Really?
The UK in general, for sure. Just stand back and watch. It'll unfold in front of you.
Oh, boy. I'll do my best.
Sing a song of England, a pocket full of pride, tickets for the theatre, walk inside.
Help the British actors to get a living wage, but who are those comedians cavorting on the stage?
Oh, they come from America, which is only fair and right.
Britons can be funny for a quarter of the money, but they're not to the same thing quite. Just as Americans over their lunch
get many a good laugh from a copy of Punch.
Oh, yeah.
And how?
Says me.
Says you. Sing a song of dance bands, a pocket full of jazz. What a lot of dance bands London has.
Some may be British as the papers state, but where do the majority originate?
Oh, they come from America, which is only fair and right.
In the Cotswolds and the Chilterns may be lots of Paynes and Hiltons, but they're not to the same thing quite. You see, it works both ways. Any English band that goes over to the States
gets a welcoming hand.
Oh, yeah.
And how?
Says me.
Says you. Sing a song of fiction, a pocket full of plots. Here's a British author making pots.
What a funny language ours can look. The words are in a glossary at the end of the book.
Oh, they come from America, which is only fair and right.
While there's no embargo on the gunmen of Chicago, it's the place of which to write. Our children need these refining books
about gangsters, bootleggers, thugs and crooks.
Oh, yeah.
And how?
Says you.
Says me. Sing a song of talkies, a
a pocket full of sound. Look at all the big films being set around.
See a Hollywood version of every British play, filling up the coffers of the USA.
Oh, they come from America, and it's only fair and right.
Britons have traditions, both as actors and musicians, but they're not to the same thing quite. Our youngsters must on the talkie screen
hear educated voices, you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
And how?
Says me.
Say you.
Good evening and welcome to the Margaret Drabble Memorial Baths, Newport, for this year's finals of the All England Summarise Proust competition. Each contestant has to summarise the 7 volumes of Proust's masterwork, once in a swimsuit and once in evening dress. And here's your host for tonight, Arthur Meek.
Good evening and welcome, or as Proust would say, la malheur imaginaire de recondition de toute surveillance et bientôt la même chose. Now remember, each contestant have a maximum of 15 seconds to sum up à la recherche de ton perdu, and on the Proustometer here, you can see exactly how far he gets. Well, let's crack straight on with our first contestant tonight, from Luton, last year's semi-finalist, Harry Baggett. Righto, Harry, here's the summarising board. Now you've got 15 seconds from now.
Proust's novel ostensibly tells of the irrevocability of time loss, the forfeiture of innocence through experience, the reinstallment of extra temporal values of time regained. Ultimately, the novel is both optimistic and set within the context of human religious experience. In the first volume, Swan, the family friend, visit...
Well tried, Harry.
A good attempt there, but unfortunately he chose a general appraisal of the work before getting on to specific details. And in fact, as you can see on the Proustometer, he only got as far as the beginning of Swan's Way, the first of the 10 volumes. A good try, though, and very nice posture.
Harry Baggett, you're from Luton?
That's right, Arthur.
And what made you want to try and summarise Proust?
Well, I first entered a seaside summarised Proust competition when I was on holiday at Bournemouth, and my doctor has encouraged me to continue with it.
And what are your hobbies outside summarising?
Well, strangling animals, golf and masturbating.
Well, thanks, Harry, very much!
Well, there he goes, Harry Baggett. He must have let himself down a bit on the hobbies. Golf's not very popular around here. But never mind, a good try.
Now here's number 2, a Mr. Rutherford from Leicester. Ronald, are you ready?
Yeah.
15 seconds from now.
Swan, there's this house, and, it's in the evening, it's in the morning, and, there's a garden, and, what's the man's name, big fella, Swan, and,
thank you, Ronald, very close. And now, ladies and gentlemen, will you welcome the third of our All England finalists, from Bingley, the Bolton Choral Society, under their leader, Superintendent McGough. Right, 15 seconds to summarise Proust's immortality, beginning from now.
Proust in his first book wrote about.
Proust in his first book wrote about.
Very ambitious try there, but in fact the least successful of the evening. They didn't even get as far as the first volume.
Well, I don't think anyone here tonight has successfully encapsulated the intricacies of Proust's masterwork, so I'm going to award the first prize tonight to the girl with the biggest...
Imagination. what you call it, your race or your culture. This is ordinary times, so easy on a merry day.